You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm your host Shane Stetsny, and on this episode we'll share a chat that Brent and I had with Ricky Gutierrez from Pro2 and another conversation that we had with Kyle Cooper from Super Stock Truck. Of course, next up for us here at Amsoil Championship Off-Road, rounds 5 and 6 at ERX Motor Park in Elk River, Minnesota. That's the next stop on the tour, and that's this weekend as of the time of recording, Friday and Saturday, July 9th and 10th. And whenever we talk to drivers about ERX, it seems like one of the first words you'll always hear out of the driver's mouth is technical. And it truly is a very, very technical track. There's a lot of blind corners, blind hills, tons of elevation changes. There's a split lane, there's a sand section, there's a rhythm section, and there's a huge flyaway jump. It really does put drivers in every class and their equipment to the test, and every driver is going to have to bring his or her A game this weekend at ERX. And of course, if you go back to last year, the most memorable moment, in my opinion, of the 2020 Champ Off-Road season was that round 5 Pro 4 race at ERX, where CJ Greaves made that last corner pass on Kyle LeDuc with a little bit of contact that kind of ignited the rivalry that lasted all year last year between those two drivers, and is now beginning to spill into this year a little bit, with CJ taking the wins in rounds 1 and 2 and LeDuc taking wins in rounds 3 and 4 at Crandon a couple days ago. But right now, here's the conversation that my co-host Brent Smith and I had with Pro 2 driver Ricky Gutierrez. All right, now we'll welcome our first guest to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil from Pro 2. It's Ricky Gutierrez. Ricky, thank you so much for taking some time out of a busy week to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I just got back from the race shop, actually, getting ready to head down to ERX tomorrow.
So coming off of round 4 at Crandon, there's only really 10 off days between Crandon and ERX on the schedule this year. So what does that look like for you, having 10 days to prep the truck? And I think you told me that you traveled back to California, so you've been going back and forth in a 10-day span, right?
Yeah. So right after round 4, we had a tough day in round 4. We had a lot of damage done to the truck. So we really put our heads down, got to work, and got to grind on the truck, try to get as prepared as we can. I know me and my crew, we all wanted to kind of just go home for the 4th, spend it with our families before, you know, we're out here again for ERX, and then we'll be out here for a couple weeks even after that. It's tough, though. You know, it takes a lot of time, a lot of hard work, a lot of prepping. But we got the truck all ready to go, and I'm very much looking forward to getting out there and throwing down at ERX.
So that's actually a new truck that you had coming into this year, right?
Yeah. So I just got that truck built by COD Racing, Chad Matag. We got the truck back a little late, so it was kind of tough adjusting from the truck I had to this new truck. I mean, they're just, the driving style of them are so much different. I mean, you can drive these trucks so aggressive and so hard. You can jump it 10 times further than my old truck. And it's just, it's a blast just getting more comfortable each time I go on the track and learning the craft of the truck.
Hey, Ricky, Brent Smith here. How's it going, buddy?
Good. How are you, Brent?
Good. So you talk about like testing and getting the truck prepped and ready. I seen on your Instagram that you were testing that crane and doing some shock tuning. So what does that all entail?
Yeah, this morning we went down there. So I just got some new bump stops from King Shocks, actually. And we made some more setup changes to the truck just to try to get me more comfortable in it. You know, I had a good weekend at round 3, and round 4 was tough. But today, the changes we made just coming off the track from round 4 was phenomenal. I had a really good test this morning at Crandon. Thanks to all the guys down there for letting me come down there and throw down a couple laps. But today I was really just focused on jumping the truck as far and as hard as I can, trying to get the shock tuning perfect, you know, because going into the RX, we have some big jumps there, and I want to make sure the shocks are dialed in and on their A game.
So with all the, you know, having a brand new truck that's obviously, you know, built by Chad Matag, a top of the line truck, basically the best of the best that you can get when you're putting together a Pro 2 wish list. You've done all this testing and tuning on it. You had a really, really great run in round three on Saturday at Crandon. Do you feel like you're right on the edge of breaking through and picking up your first Midwest win in Pro 2?
Yeah. I mean, I know I have the speed. My team's giving me the best truck possible. And I mean, right now it's just going to be all up to me going into ERX. I'm looking forward to, you know, pushing my way to the front and, you know, kind of being more patient, more consistent. I definitely got a little antsy in round four, but you know, I learned from my mistake and, you know, I think I have it in me. I think I can pull off a win for sure.
So Ricky, talking about racing and trying to develop as a race car driver, I've noticed you've had Charlie Sleavy on board with you now for a little while. And I mean, that just shows big, big, huge strides to your program, because if anyone knows history of off-roads, he worked with Jimmy Johnson, worked with Bryce Menzies. I mean, the guy is very, very smart.
Yeah. Charlie's definitely brought a lot to our program. I mean, he's all in, we're all in. I got a new semi. Just the small things he really picks up on the setup to the truck is just crazy. Just stuff, I mean, I would never think about doing. He tells us about it, shows us how to do it, you know, and it's good because he's a good teacher too. You know, I've been learning from him, a lot on just different setups, converters, transmissions, gearing, I mean, shock tuning, everything. The guy knows, he knows everything on that truck, on any truck. And it's just, it's a really good honor to work with him.
Yeah, he's a good-hearted guy. I remember when my brother and I were in Super Stock Truck for a couple years, he would just say hi to us. He never was too good for anyone. He always lent a helping hand. And I remember having issues with my carburetor and that. You know, I didn't have a lot of money or anything, and I just made good buddies around the pits. And I'm like, hey, Charlie, could you come and take a look at it? I'm having some issues, I don't know, with the vacuum on the carb or whatever. He came over, spent about a half hour, 45 minutes, went out, and I got second in that next race, and then my brother won the next day. And it was just amazing that somebody at that level took the time to go help. And I think that shows a lot for him as an individual and our sport alone over the last decade.
Yes. Yeah. No, for sure. Charlie is definitely a good helping hand. He definitely wants the best for everyone. I mean, I can never get that guy to stop working, you know, to take a break. He's always on it, and he's always giving it full throttle everywhere he goes. You know, he runs his resort down here in Lake Watonga, and, you know, he still comes to the race shop even when we're there. We're like, Charlie, you don't need to show up. Like, we'll take care of it all. And, you know, he's there and he stays with us, you know, even if we have those late nights.
Hey, so not only are you working with some of the best people in off-road racing, but I know that you work really hard on yourself too. You get a ton of seat time. In the past couple of years, you've been racing a dirt mod, a Desert Class 5 car, a US Legends car, all while putting together your short course program. So where does that passion for racing come from? Where did it start?
I mean, it originally started, I mean, my dad was a desert racer, and, you know, I have always looked up to him. I always wanted to be him. I've always wanted to drive a race car. And as soon as I got my first trophy car, I just fell in love with it. You know, worked my way up to through the ranks of the trophy carts. And I made that big jump from modified cart to Pro 2. And I was just trying to get as much seat time as I can in, you know, any race car, try to get just race time. There's throttle control. There's so many different aspects to bring in from different sides of racing. I mean, asphalt, circle track, go-karts, there's so many different aspects from it that you bring into this Pro 2 class that makes you a well-round champion driver, which, you know, I hope I can be one day, which, you know, I'm gonna keep working hard at it.
I'm glad you brought up that you raced in mod carts, because, you know, obviously here in the Midwest, especially over the last couple of years, we've put a lot more focus into youth racing. Is there a lot that you took away from racing carts that still helps you be competitive today in Pro 2?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the mod carts and the trophy carts are like the starting point of car control, throttle control, braking, especially those mod carts. They're so quick, and your reaction time has to be like a snap of a finger, because they're moving so quick. You got the shifter next to you. You got like five gears. It's gnarly, dude. There's so much upcoming talent in the modified kart class, and that's where I learned a lot of my basic driving skills and just advanced driving skills as well.
So to piggyback off that question, now that we have this really rich group of youth drivers here in the Midwest, what advice would you give to the kids that, you know, look up at you and say that they want to follow in your footsteps? They want to be the next Ricky Gutierrez.
It takes a lot of hard work, time. You just never give up, And there's a tough side of racing, and there's the fun side of racing, The tough side is, you can lose. You can lose races just, back to back just by, mechanical issues, just bad luck, bad positioning on the track. There's just so many different things you got to bring into it. And just, just never give up, man. Just keep pushing. My first couple years in the Pro 2 was the hardest years of racing that I've ever endured. It was so tough to get comfortable in the Pro 2 and learn the driving style of it. And, I think I'm finally figuring out. After like three seasons of racing, I'm finally figuring out, I'm getting on the podium, and I think I have a shot at the top spot. And I think that's just from everyone just keeping me motivated and just not giving up. So pretty much what I say is just keep pushing, Never give up. Always try to work on your craft and work on your driving style.
So, Ricky, I see a lot of race car drivers. I mean, myself, my brother, and just to do it to have fun. But as race car drivers, the iRacing's huge. I mean, do you spend a lot of time behind the wheel off the track?
Actually, no. I don't have iRacing. I'm actually trying to get one, though. Mostly when when I'm off the track and back at home, I usually go down to Troy Adams track, Adams Motorsports Park in Riverside. And just pound laps in the go-kart, especially with a bunch of my buddies, Brody, Trey Eggleston. It's fun going out there and just racing with your buddies and, driving a go-kart. You get to work on braking, momentum, reaction speed, cornering. There's so many different things you can bring from a go-kart to the off-road truck.
So you talked about coming straight from mod kart to Pro 2, and that was only a couple years ago. You're still one of the youngest guys in the deepest Pro 2 field we've had in the Midwest in like 10 or 15 years, including some guys who have been racing full-size trucks longer than you've been racing at all. Are you intimidated by racing against, veteran drivers, especially drivers that have way more laps on Midwest tracks, or does that just motivate you to work harder to stay competitive?
I mean, it motivates me so much just to try to be the best driver I can. Last year coming into it, it was really intimidating because it was my first like full season. I did a couple champ off-road races, and then I did a couple of the West Coast Series races. But I really took a lot of time in this off season to work hard. I mean, in the gym, on the track, on asphalt, on the circle tracks, and I think they're really looking out for me this year. I think I'm competitive, and I'm going to show out there on the track.
Well, man, we hope the best for you. We hope that you can just keep climbing the ladder. We love watching the Pro 2 race week in and week out, dude. It's so much fun. I mean, I couldn't tell you who's going to win. I mean, I hope it's you, bud, because you've been working your butt off. You have a great group of people behind you. But, man, it's so cool to keep saying every weekend, hey, Shane, who do you think is going to win this one? And we never know.
Yeah. No, the competitiveness of, like, the field of Pro 2 this season is, like, unreal. And it definitely keeps you on your toes. It definitely makes you want to be better than everybody out there on the track, always trying to improve your race craft, trying just the smallest things in your setup to be the most competitive out there. I'm looking forward to going out there and dicing it up, and I really want to hopefully take home my first win at ERX.
So looking ahead to ERX, rounds 5 and 6 this weekend, we're less than 3 days away now as we record here on Tuesday night. You finished on the podium there last year. What do you like about ERX, and what do you think is about the track is, suits your driving style or maybe suits your truck?
Yeah, I'm more of like, I really like the technical tracks. I think it really shows you know, who the drivers are and aren't. So just the tight corners, the split lane, the whoops, which you can even cross over in from the inside or the outside. There's just so many different lines at this track, that are just going to make it such a fun race, such a fun weekend to dice it up with some of the best drivers out there. But it's a fun track. It's a fun track. It's definitely a driver's track.
All right. Well, we look forward to hopefully seeing you run up front there at ERX this weekend at rounds 5 and 6. And again, we appreciate your time in the middle of a busy week.
Sweet. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll see you guys out there.
Yeah. Good luck, buddy. Safe travels.
Thank you. See you guys.
If you're a fan of Champ Off-Road, we ask that you please support the people that support us. So remember to visit AMSOIL.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient AMSOIL product guides to find what you need and get fast, free shipping right to your door. AMSOIL, run with us. And with that, we'll now move on to the other conversation that Brent and I had. This time it's with Kyle Cooper from Super Stock Truck. All right, our next guest on the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL from Super Stock Truck, fresh off a win in round 4, it's Kyle Cooper. Kyle, how are you doing?
Good, Brent, Shane, thanks for having me.
Hey, so I know that you're actually traveling right now, so why don't you give the listeners a little glimpse into the life of an actual sportsman racer. What are you actually doing right now at this moment?
So my situation's a little different than most. I actually live 3 hours away from my race shop, which is at my parents. So over the weekend, I worked on the truck and got it ready best I could. And then Monday night, I drove down because I could not get work off today. So I worked all day today until about 5. And then I had to shoot over to Detroit, which is about an hour and a half from where I work. Pick up my transmission from Accurate Trans. We broke a tail shaft an hour ago, just practiced, so we had to swap that unit out, and I went and picked that up, so I had a spare for ERX, and now I am making the trip back north to my parents, which is about 4 hours from Detroit, and talking to you guys.
I forgot to bring this up in the setup of that question, but as we record, it's Tuesday night, so we're basically 2.5 days away from Green Flag Racing. So, like I said, that's a firsthand account of what an actual sportsman racer is going through at any time, especially, you know, a small, you know, your team is more or less you and your dad. So,
yeah, for the most part during the week, I mean, once in a while, one of my crew guys will be able to help out for a day or two over the weekend. But yeah, essentially between races, it's just my dad and I prepping the truck.
So looking at this season so far, we're 4 rounds into the 2021 season. You picked up that win in round 4, and it was a kind of a wild win with a couple tense moments towards the end. Does a win get more satisfying than when you know that your competitors threw everything they could at you and you still came out on top?
Yeah, absolutely. And we had a bit of a dry spell going there. We hadn't won since the 50th in 2019 at Crandon, and that was on the short track. So Saturday we had a mud race, and I always have a poor attitude about mud races. I don't like them. And then Sunday, watching the pros clean the track off for us, I knew we were going to have a really good track, and I went into the race and I had a really good feeling. I just, you know, my crew likes to joke with me before the race, like, hey, are you feeling it today? And I'll joke around sometimes, like, nah, I'm just going to go out there and drive around. But Sunday, I was like, yeah, let's freaking go. So went out there, pulled the whole shot, and my spotter, Ryan Stingle, he told me Joey was behind me, and then he told me Braden was behind me. And, yeah, Braden tried putting it in on me in the gravel pit, and it got a little aggressive. We were able to both make it out alive, thankfully. And then that put Joey and Mister right behind me. And, I mean, that's pretty much the heaviest of the heavy in that class going after me. So to hold them off and break through and get a win after a few years, it felt really good. It stunk because we're so far away from the races that we really couldn't take the time to celebrate. We just packed up and left because, you know, it's an 8-hour trip for us to go to Crandon.
Hey, Kyle. Brent Smith here. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Brent. I'm good.
So going into ERX Motor Park this weekend, I mean, is there a lot of changing? I mean, tell the people and the fans around you, like, what goes on? I mean, I know you go back and forth to the shop, but obviously you're probably changing gear ratio, changing different little things that people don't see. They just see the truck go track to track. So other than the hours, I mean, do you make big changes from Crandon to ERX?
Yeah, I usually run a different shock setup at ERX than I do any other track. I try to slow things down a little bit. There's a few rhythm sections where, you know, I don't want the tires to drop out as quick as, say, you know, Bark River or Crandon. And actually, it's funny you bring that shock thing up, because after Anago, I had to go and get into the shocks. We bent an I-beam. And I knew I was going to make changes for ERX, so instead of getting into the shocks twice, I put my ERX setup in for Crandon, and it actually worked pretty well, so we kind of stumbled upon something there. But like you said as well, it's changing the ratios. You know, we run a lot shorter gear for the short tracks, and sometimes we'll change our tire setup. We're kind of in a holding pattern right now, just kind of waiting to see what the weather does. And other than that, it's just, yeah, your basic prep, you know, nut bolt chuck truck, make sure the, you know, all your bushings, all your wear items are good. The truck was due for an oil change. We do that every other race, so change the oil. And then, yeah, just all the basic little stuff between the races, like, even stuff people might not think about, you know, doing the grocery shopping for the team and,
right, you know,
getting all the links out to your sponsors to watch that weekend's races. And there's a lot that goes into it, like you said.
Yeah, you're definitely doing a stellar job, man. It's really fun to watch. Shane and I, we tell everyone we get goosebumps doing our job, but Super Stock Truck, that's the class to watch. I love the competition. I mean, now you have young guns coming in. I mean, at any given time, it seems like there's 6 to 8 guys that could take that top spot. And it's good to see you mix up the blood a little bit, because I couldn't tell you who's going to win at ERX.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one great thing about the class. And even, you know, some of the guys that you might not think have a shot at winning, a lot of guys have stepped their programs up. And the class is really respectable. I mean, even people know it throughout the pro pits. I mean, they'll come and watch us to get an idea what the track's going to do and, you know, what might be possible. So, yeah, like you said, it's a great class, and it's exciting to be in. And I don't know who's going to win either. I mean, I'd like to say, I mean, we swept there a few years ago, so I feel like we got a good shot. But, I mean, honestly, I could rattle off 8 guys that's got a legitimate shot at winning this weekend, and probably 12 guys that could get on the podium. So it is a great class, and I'm excited to get back out there and mix it up with them.
So Super Stock Truck seems to, that's been the reputation of that class for a long time, that there's a ton of really good drivers and a ton of aggressive drivers too. But how does it, I wrote this question just for you, because I know you are probably a bigger, you know, more involved as a race fan than as a driver almost. How do you think the current Super Stock Truck class compares to, I guess, what you'd call the golden age of Super Stock, when it was Scott Boshaw, Outlaw Al Conitzer, Ross Hook, and all those guys?
Oh, shoot, that's a heavy question. You know, those guys were racing just when the class really started to modernize. It was during that time where they started allowing us to put the radiators in the back and running a 3-inch shock versus multiple 2.0s. I mean, you look at some of the equipment that's out there, Shane, I mean, those trucks were running when those guys raced, and they're still competitive. So I think, you know, I don't want to say you're just for recycling the trucks, but those guys built some awesome pieces and are running some awesome pieces. And I think, you know, there might be a little bit of advancement that's taken place since then, but if you throw those guys in a truck now and say the top 5 guys from back then and the top 5 now, and I mean, it'd be an even split in my mind.
So Kyle, you're coming into this weekend, and Do you have a feeling that, like, that inversion is a huge deal in the class? I know they invert up to 12 guys. I don't know what the inversion is going to be coming into this weekend, but that can play a huge factor on, like, the starts and the restarts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people pay a lot more attention to that than the average fan might think. I mean, I'm depending on who's starting up front, you know, there's certain scenarios that go through your mind, like, okay, you know, I've got to get around this guy right away, or, okay, well, this guy's going to start out front, he's going to be fast. You know, that was the big thing at Crandon, because the closer you are to the inside wall, the more advantageous it is. So Sunday, for example, when I saw they were inverting eight, that put DJ and Visser like 1-2 on the inside, and I told myself, I'm like, well, shoot, Visser's gonna pull the whole shot, and he was close, but we lucked out because we had a nice dry strip in front of us, and we were able to pull the whole shot. But yeah, how that hill draw, I mean, it really determines how the race is gonna go, which it can be a blessing and a curse. But either way, the fans get a good show. But as a driver, you're always hoping, especially right now, me sitting second points, that they draw a 4 or a 6, so I don't have that much traffic to work through. But if they pull a 10 or a 12, it's gonna make for it'll be a good show for the fans. But on the track, it might get a little chaotic. But see how it plays out. It's the same for everybody, so I can't complain too much.
Right, right. And like we were talking to Tony Keepers in episode 5, and I brought up that timing on the race. Before, we were just doing laps. Now it's a timed race. I told Tony it seems like it's more like a sprint car race now.
Yeah, it is. I'll be honest, I go back and forth on the time thing. There's parts I like about it. There's parts I don't. I mean, I like the course trying to make changes. And overall, I think Core is doing a great job. But I just wish that we've had a few scenarios already this year where we'll have an accident and it really just zaps the clock. And it does. It makes it, you know, you're only getting 5 or 6 green flag laps. And it makes it really tough to, A, either, you know, get up to the front, or B, you get guys that are desperate to get up front and they're, you know, trying to use you up to get there. And I mean, it has its pros and its cons, but I just wish, if I could suggest one thing, and I know it's been brought up a few times at driver's meeting, is just stopping the clock during the yellow flag, during the mandatory yellow flag, to make sure we get a couple more green flag laps. But, for example, if we were to get a second caution flag because of an accident, then yeah, run the clock. But I feel like the comp caution should have a clock stoppage. But overall, like I said, I'm happy with Core. I think they're doing a great job. I think the series as a whole is, look at the truck count this year, it's better than it ever has been. So I won't knock that too much.
Hey, to talk a little bit more about your history in off-road racing. So you are basically just like Brent and myself. You kind of were born into off-road racing. You're a quote-unquote racetrack kid. Now you've become a veteran racer. So how has that experience been, going from growing up at the track to now competing for championships?
So yeah, this will be a little bit of a diatribe, but actually, so racing side comes from my dad. He built racing motors for a lot of years, and he owned a pretty large business in Metro Detroit building race engines, and he was doing NASCAR stuff, sports car stuff, offshore power boats, and he did a lot of travel. And then he got hooked up with Herzog and Scott Douglas for some of their desert stuff. And it's funny, I remember Scott on the first podcast, my dad and I were listening to it, and Scott talked about his most special win, and it's when his Class 7 won the San Felipe 250 overall. Well, that was actually my dad's motor in that truck. And then shortly after that, Scott was getting a short course program going, and he wanted my dad to come along to the track. So my dad kind of hemmed and hawed because he was getting burnt out from the travel of all the other forms of motorsport he was doing. And Scott said, well, just come to the local ones, because at that time, most of them were locals in the Midwest. And so my dad went, and he was hooked. He'd bring my mom and I and my then baby sister at the time to the really close races like Bark River and Crandon. And then fast forward a little bit, when I was 10 years old, he said if I could keep the grades up, I could go to every race. So grades were really never a problem after that. And I remember my first trip that was not Bark River or Crandon was to Unadilla, New York in 2000. 2002. And from then until about 2006, I didn't miss a single short course race. You could find me up in the stands for every single buggy, truck, cart race. And I could name every single guy on the track and whose old car it was and so on and so forth. And then after the race, yeah, I was, you know, the racetrack kid. And I was, I'd hang out with the Steve Barlow's kids, Bradley and Tyler, and the Probst kids, and with Keegan and CJ a little bit as well. But them being kind of on rival teams, because Johnny and Scott had kind of a rivalry going on back then, you didn't really hang out over there too much. But from then, I started helping Keith Steele, which was another customer he picked up along the way, and just went from scraping mud to starting to spin wrenches. And then when I turned 18, you know, I was looking at going to college because I knew my parents, they made good money, but not anything to where they could, you know, really buy me a car, get me into a car like some of the other racetrack kids could, you know, with the resources they had available to them. So I decided to go to college. I went to Michigan Tech, got an engineering degree, and more so not because I wanted the engineering degree, it's because I wanted the money associated with it so I could go racing. And I graduated, I got hired by GM, and within a few months, I got a promotion at GM. So instead, you know, like most parents be like, oh, well, you know, promotion comes with more money, you know, you save for a house. They're like, so you're going to build that race truck now? And I'm like, well, I'm not sure. I think it's saving up, you know, maybe get a new car, you know, save up for a house. And again, it was, so you're going to build that race truck? And I'm like, well, if you're going to twist my arm, okay. So a year and a half worth of weekends, we've got the truck built, and it was on from there. And the first time it hit the track, it's pretty comical. I still have that video on YouTube. I look at the truck, and it looks so terrible, but I just remember how fun it was. And we actually ran pretty decent. And then from then on, we went to the first time we went to ERX, which was the second race in 2017. We got on the podium right away, and that just kind of set our expectation that we knew we could be a front runner. It was just me learning the truck and learning what it liked and what it didn't like. And yeah, fast forward to now, and for us to be a perennial championship contender, I imagine we'd get there someday, but I didn't think it would happen as fast as it did. And for that, I'm really thankful, and I've got a great group around me too that's helped me along the way, and most of those guys still help me today, which is awesome.
I think my biggest takeaway from that story was that, you know, you've made life choices that help you stay involved in off-road racing. So clearly you have a ton of passion for the sport. That's pretty evident by your story. But what comes next after Super Stock Truck? I know that you have your eyes on maybe an upward move in the truck classes. Do you have any more news on that front?
Well, I want to get a championship in Super Stock. That's the priority. I think I heard Brent talk on the podcast or on the live stream, or it might have been you, Shane, how Joey Majosik, one of our top competitors, he's just set on getting a Super Stock championship because he doesn't have one either. But, the Super Stock's a great class to win a championship in, and we've seen a lot of guys from that class move up into the pro classes over the years. So ideally for me, I'd like to get a championship in Super Stock, and then I really would like to go to Pro 2. I've helped a few different Pro 2 teams over the years, and I mean, we might not have the budget of some of the top guys, but I know with the know-how that I've surrounded myself with and the guys that support me, that we can give those guys a run. I mean, you look at Kyle Kleiman out there right now, he doesn't have a big budget, and he's out there sticking with the big money team. So it's kind of a inspiration for us that, you know, we could be that next team, you know, given the opportunity. But like I said, for right now, the main priority is I really want to get a championship. I think we've got just as good a shot as we ever have with the way this year is trending. We're going to some tracks that I really, really enjoy in ERX and Dirt City. I'm excited to get back to Bark River since we weren't there last year, and then you see how we did it this last Crandon on Sunday. So we've got some good tracks coming up, and I really think that we can give these guys a run.
Well, good luck, buddy, and I hope the best for you. I really do. and it's going to be fun to watch. And it's been great hearing all about the history of where you came from. Shane and I have been around it for a long, long time, and it's always cool to hear another striving story to go for a dream. I always say, you know, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome to be out there just on the track. Being on the track is awesome, and, you know, just to be as competitive as we are, it's an added bonus. So, yeah, I appreciate the kind words, and I appreciate you guys being up in the booth, you know, two guys that have a lot of history in the sport as well. It's cool you guys, you know a lot of the backstories of us too, and you guys interact with the racers, which always hasn't happened in the past. So you guys are putting your best effort up out there, and we're putting our best effort out on the track, and it's appreciated.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. We appreciate
that.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to your travels here as you're on your way to pick up that transmission that you talked about. But as Brent said, best of luck to you this weekend. We'll catch up with you in a couple days.
All right, sounds good. We'll see you guys up there.
All right, see you later, bud.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
All right, thank you.
One last time, thanks again to both of our guests on this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil, Ricky Gutierrez from Pro 2 and Kyle Cooper from Super Stock Truck. And remember, rounds 5 and 6 are this Friday and Saturday, July 9th and 10th at ERX Motor Park in Elk River. If you can't join us in person, you can always watch us live at champoffroad.com/livestream, or if you're a subscriber on the Flow Racing app, you can find us there as well. For Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny, and we'll talk again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.